Welcome to the Lifetime Body Podcast, where we discuss how to kick ass for life through the pursuit of ultimate wellness, peak performance, and maximum longevity. Kicking ass for life is not just about achieving health or fitness or long lifespans alone. It's about totally kicking ass at everything you do in life. In every episode, join me, author and human performance expert John Zombro, and my amazing co-hosts and guests. We'll dive into the science of exercise physiology, biomechanics, nutrition, physical therapy, lifestyle, and more to meld the concepts of optimal living and advanced training. You'll explore how to look, feel, and perform your best as you live your healthiest, happiest, most successful, and longest life. Let's kick ass for life. Hi, friends, and welcome to episode 46 of the Lifetime Body Podcast. I'm your host, John Zombro. And as you know, because you're here, this is the show where we pursue peak performance at any age. We also support health, and we don't compromise longevity. This is the place where science meets common sense and where you really can kick ass for life. I'm also excited as usual because guess who's back? The man, the boy, now the man is back in town. Oh, I think there's a song in there. It's PK. How you doing, buddy?
Jay-Z, I'm great. I am great. Happy to be back. I know you've been thriving in my absence, but we're just going to go ahead and throw those training wheels back on the bicycle and do this together.
Well, you know, nobody thrives in your absence. We survive, and that's just how it is because you're mighty, mighty PK. In fact, all right, I didn't even have a plan, but Ruthie K is going to hammer me if I don't sing. So that was Thin Lizzy. You know, the boys are back in town, and PK is back in town. Maybe I'll hit it later. I'm just not feeling it yet. You were out on a surfing expedition. How'd that go?
Excuse me. It was great. It was a nice getaway. It was beautiful. The beach was great. I would say that I'm sort of an intermediate surfer. So I caught a handful of really good waves, and then I missed enough that I want to continue to dedicate myself in the pursuit. But overall, it was fantastic to get in the sun and kind of to get out of Southwest Montana in springtime. But at the same time, it's great to be back. We're getting some sunny days and no complaints, John.
Awesome. And so there's a relationship there. You know, you did a lot of training to get ready for your surfing trip. And so I've got a special announcement today. And this is really for our local listeners. If you're in Southwest Montana, you probably know that over the past 20 years or so, I have had these various shapes and forms of outdoor training groups, particularly through the summer months. And so now the Lifetime Body has T2, and T2 stands for Training Tribe. And it's really a group training program where we employ scientific training principles in a supportive team environment. We really focus on 10X health, fitness, and peak performance. This year, there are going to be two sessions. And so today, I just want to tell you briefly about the first session, and it's called Speed Camp. Speed Camp's going to run from May 14th through June 24th. Meets on Monday and Thursday evening, 6 to 7:30 p.m. And it's really a fascinating program based on client request. And so this is a progressive, intermediate to advanced program that's focused on developing maximum speed, explosive power, and athletic agility. Speed Camp emphasizes the optimization of running technique, full body conditioning, and high levels of functional mobility. Training, education, and informal competition are blended into a fun, results-oriented atmosphere. This course is for athletes wanting to improve their sprinting and jumping abilities and seasoned exercisers who are seeking to restore or refine their speed mechanics.
John, it sounds dynamic. That's the word that jumps into my mind.
Oh, absolutely. And so if you want more information or would like to registration opens this week and it'll be live when you look at it, just go to the website, thelifetimebody.com, and Depending on your device, if you're on a desktop, on the upper right side of the menu, you'll see T2. Just click on it. It gives you more information about the program, and also has a schedule button at the bottom, so you can go ahead and register with just a few clicks. And anybody who's an audience listener, hey, you know, we love you. We appreciate you. So if you have a specific question, go ahead and reach out to me. I'm happy to help you with that. So that's T2 and that's Speed Camp. And now onward with the topic of the day. And that topic is shaping up for swimsuit season and shredding for the wedding.
John Boy, this is a topic that is near and dear to, I would say, many people's hearts as we sort of get into spring and peek around the corner to summer and fall.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just like, you know, just like the summer fun we were talking about with the training program. This kind of, you know, really gets us looking at, okay, you're shaping up for the beach or the lake or the wedding. And these are normal things that we all do. They're not out of the ordinary at all. But now that we're you know, moving into April, it's a great time to get started with, you know, kind of a shape up or shred program.
Right. And it's kind of natural. It falls in line with your philosophy on cycles and seasons and all that.
Oh yeah. So, you know, hey, look, whether you're, you know, getting a new suit and, you know, you want to walk your daughter down the aisle and you don't need shoulder pads in your suit because you have shoulders underneath there, or you want to look good in your dress, or, you wear a one piece or a two piece bathing suit, or maybe rocking the Speedo, whatever it is, now's the time to get going. And really it all starts with improving body composition.
Right. I mean, when you think about it, that's the main objective here. And I think that the way that you phrase that's important just for us, you know, everyday people on the street. It's, you know, typically it's like, I need to lose some weight, but really you reframe that and say it's about optimizing body composition, right?
Oh yeah. And so, yeah, sure. Most of us, from time to time need to lose a little weight, and we always want to, you know, preserve our health and fitness. And really when we improve body composition, what we're doing is we're just reducing body fat by a few percentage points. So that's, you know, that's really, true for anything. And this kind of, I think it goes even broader than just thinking about, oh, I want to get ready for, you know, the beach or the wedding, because anytime we have someone who has a performance goal, an athlete of any type, and they're saying, well, you know, I want to embark upon this training program and pursue this target event or goal, I usually will say, if you are more than 15 pounds overweight, let's knock that weight down first, because your training will be that much more effective and you actually get better results in the long term.
Right. And that's, I guess that's a place that you start, just because if you are 15 pounds or more overweight, it'll really impede. It's a hurdle before you even get into the sort of the next level performance stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. So just my point is weight loss is really for everyone from time to time. If we optimize body composition, training works better and performance does as well.
I got it. So let's say I want to get ripped for Speedo season or the wedding, etc. What do you advise getting started tackling that challenge?
I think the easiest way to do it is just to utilize the effortless weight loss system, you know, that we have here that I developed. And it's based on 10 simple steps to your ideal body weight. And it's easy to follow, inexpensive, and straightforward.
Right, right. And specifically, I mean, this is something that you can confirm or tell me I'm off base here, is that the effortless weight loss program really is about addressing the metabolism, but it addresses the fat specifically. You say, like, okay, we don't want to lose overall mass. It really does help you dial in and reduce the fat part of the body comp, right?
Yeah, exactly. Let's target the fat. Let's preserve the muscle and the health as we go along. And so those 10 steps really do that. And they're just they're evidence-based, based on all the most current science, what we know about how various lifestyle practices affect, you know, our metabolisms and the regulation of our hormones and ultimately the optimization of our body composition. So the first of the 10, and I, Yeah, I think you can look at them in any order, but I typically present them in this order, is to eat a planet, and that's P-L-A-N-E-T, like planet Earth, planet-based diet, the PBD.
So that'd be the planet-based diet then.
Yeah, and it's based on the JERF principle, and that's J-E-R-F, just eat real food.
Got it. And I think that, so if you just had to summarize what it means, the PBD, in just high level, what are you encouraging folks to do there?
Yeah, avoid junk and processed foods and eat whole, fresh, natural foods that look like they came from the earth as opposed to coming from outer space.
Got it. Pretty simple. But do you find that when you're working with your clients, that's just employing that philosophy is effective, but it's also unusual?
Yeah, I think a lot of people find it reassuring, and it's almost relaxing to think, gosh, if I just eat, real healthy food and then experiment with it from there, which things do I like, which things seem to work better for me, how much of the different macronutrients each person likes, that's fine. But if you're selecting from the PBD, you're most of the way there. And it's one of those wonderful simplifications, I think, in diet. And really, it's all about, again, just eating good foods and letting the body do what it's genetically designed to do with them.
I love it. So where do you go from there? What's number two on this list of 10?
Well, we really focus on the burning of fat through achieving metabolic fat adaptation.
Gotcha. So this is, what is that?
Well, so you and I, we probably are entrenched in it, and some of the listeners, probably a lot of our listeners are as well, but it's basically when we teach our metabolisms, for lack of a better word, to burn fat, to prefer to burn fat for fuel, as opposed to being entirely dependent on carbohydrate.
Got it. Which, if you do have a significant amount of carbohydrates in your current diet, that is some retraining does need to happen in the metabolism then.
Yeah. And so eating that planet-based diet, obviously there are a lot of, healthy foods that are, somewhat rich in healthy dietary fat. And so that helps to bring the fat content up a little bit. And when we get rid of particularly the processed carbohydrates, we kind of let the metabolism heal, if you will, and we then turn back on or upregulate the enzymes and the hormones and the other cellular machinery that enables us to access fat for fuel. And so, excuse me, when we're not burning ingested dietary fat, we're very easily flipping the switch and using stored body fat for fuel. And that can't happen when we're entirely carbohydrate dependent, which typically happens in the standard American diet, because the body gets, if you will, addicted to carbohydrates, and it actually suppresses its ability to access its own fat.
Oh boy. excuse me, John. How long does it take to adapt that? If the listener's saying, all right, I'm going to get on this, what's the typical sort of time frame to get that metabolism adapted?
Honestly, it's just a couple weeks. I want to give a number. So I'd say 3 weeks. Now, you might have a person who's very, very healthy and very metabolically healthy and active and all those things. And they might find, gosh, it's 2 weeks. And then mm-hmm. you might find someone whose metabolism was, let's say, a bit more wrecked from a standard American diet, and they have some other health problems. It could even be a few months. But in reality, I would say the average for most folks to become metabolically fat adapted, at least to a great degree, about 3 weeks.
Got it. And so that's if we're talking about shredding for the wedding in summer, that's making a giant leap just, in your body in under a month.
Oh yeah. And you see weight drop fairly rapidly. Some of the weight is, water weight and inflammation related that we get away from as we start getting healthier on the PBD. But then ultimately the access to the fat stores, has been opened up, and the fat stores fuel us, and the body weight trickles away.
Amazing. So what's number three on our list of the effortless weight loss?
Up next is dine richly. So we need to keep that tradition of dining alive. It's a ritual for us humans, and celebration and enjoying food and meals and cooking and all the, you know, colors and textures, you know, however one wants to do that. But we never have to get into this state of starvation and deprivation and being overly tactical with our eating so that it becomes not enjoyable.
Got it. So actually an emphasis on dining ritually is part of the program to lose weight. I like it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a wonderfully refreshing thing for a lot of folks. Yeah, hey, you're not putting me in a dark dungeon and giving me a plate of gruel. And no, who would do such a thing?
No, that's a program. Yeah, the dark dungeon gruel program is never going to come out of the TLB program.
No, there's a song in that one too, but I'm holding today for a little bit.
Okay.
I gotta feel it later, Ruthie, if you're listening. Number four in that, we're eating a plant-based diet. We've got our metabolism switched on to burn fat. We're dining richly. Now we do that. We eat when the sky is light.
Interesting. Okay. Tell me why. Why are we doing that?
We are humans, okay? And you're like, yeah, okay, gotcha. You know, but we're humans, we're mammals, we are diurnal. In other words, our function, our biology is tied to the sun, and that's known as our circadian rhythm. So it turns out that our digestion and our metabolism is actually designed to be functioning during the day and not at night. And by eating when the sky is light, we actually maximize some health benefits, as well as upregulating that metabolism to burn more fat.
Interesting. So just going back to our roots, really, really our ancestral patterns.
Oh, yeah.
I like it. All right, what's next up? So talk to me, what is number five on the list?
Okay, number five, or the next one, is utilizing TRF, or time-restricted feeding. And if folks don't like that word restricted because it has a negative connotation, you can also use intermittent fasting. And all this really means is we take that window of time that we're consuming our food every day, and we shrink it a little bit. So if we're eating when the sky is light, and the sky is light for 12 hours, we might utilize a time-restricted window of about 9 hours. So that might be eating between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m., for example. And what that does is it further enhances health and the metabolic use of fat for fuel, because it extends our nightly fast during each 24-hour cycle.
Right, right. And so it's just kind of compressing that eating window and lengthening the fasting, you know, fasting in quotes window, you know, in the evening and overnight into the morning, or maybe mid-morning or midday. Interesting. Got it. What happens to the body when we do that?
Well, first of all, we get some amazing benefits that are related to the extended fasting period. And there's a cellular cleanup process called autophagy, which really helps our bodies in numbers of ways, and, you know, has some anti-aging properties and anti-disease functions as well. But also, we suppress the exposure to excessive levels of insulin within the body. And insulin's that master hormone that kind of signals fat storage as opposed to fat burning. So we get a few extra hours of enhanced fat burning every single day.
Mm, that sounds fantastic. What's next? It's delicious.
Yeah. So what's next? So, you know, those first, you know, kind of looked at all these things, easily utilized strategies around food. Now, the sixth one in that list, sleep hard.
Yes. Okay. Now we're rounding out the program. So what do you mean when you say sleep hard?
Well, I think we want to put as much energy and effort into sleeping as we do, you know, what we're eating or all the other things that we focus on in life. And by sleeping hard, or sleeping intensely, optimally, shall we say, what we do is we maximally or ideally regulate hormones. And so when we're sleeping, there's a lot of things that are going on in the body and the brain. And good sleep actually helps to reset that metabolism to keep being a fat burner and not get into kind of a tired, stressed, sugar craving state.
Got it. So it's sort of when you're sleeping, all these things that need to happen behind the scenes, especially when you're sleeping well, are happening efficiently And I like, okay, I can visualize that.
Yeah, it sets up your day for all sorts of things, whether you're talking about performance or alertness, but also metabolically for fat burning. Good sleep actually has been proven over and over to help that.
Absolutely. Okay, so we sleep hard, then we wake up, and what do we do when we're kicking our day off? This is part of the program as well.
We do the magic morning practice.
What, John, is that?
We step outside, and again, at some point in the morning, doesn't have to be very, very first thing, and take a half-hour stroll. Doesn't have to be, a power walk, could be if you wanted, but we get the body moving, we get outside, we get some fresh air, and hopefully we get some sunlight exposure. All those things help with health, metabolism, and fat burning, and then we come in from that, have a shower, and finish with a two-minute cold rinse, or work up to that if you need to.
Got it. Okay. So we're finishing the shower with a little cold, a little ice dip. What happens when we do this?
Yeah. Well, that, first of all, you can picture what happens metabolically. You bring your metabolism up to a stronger idle with that stroll. And again, there's some other benefits to being outside and having that light exposure, but that cold induced thermogenesis, or that cool to cold rinse, hopefully you can make it cold, will upregulate metabolism and actually, again, keep the fat burning switches turned on. There's something that happens in mammals and in humans, which is brown adipose tissue or brown fat development, and the cold does that. So it doesn't make you more fat. It just makes some of your fat more energy consumptive.
Got it. Okay. And so what you're saying is that's part of the practice as part of the program, where at some point, you know, when the sun is up in the morning, you're out for a brisk walk. And then after that, so on the brisk walk, you're getting in the sunlight, you're getting some vitamin D, you're absorbing that into your body, then you're getting a little shower, finish it on the cold. And just by doing that, you're really revving that metabolism for all that works in conjunction with all the other elements.
Yeah, I mean, sure, you can nitpick some of the things that you said, but that's really exactly. I don't mean to be, you know.
No, John, I mean, I hope that I didn't just expose myself as not being a scientist at that one little delivery right there.
No, we're all in this together, but I'm thinking some listeners might say, well, you might not get that much vitamin D unless you have a lot of skin exposed, and it would need to be warm for that, and so forth, so on. So, you know, just
okay, got it.
Right, we understand what you're saying there. So we do those things, right? And then the next part, the next step is move like a winner.
Well, I want, I'm sure the audience does want to move like a winner. So how did we do that, and what does it mean?
Well, don't we all, and shouldn't we all be winners? Hey, if you're listening, you are a winner. You're awesome. Really, this is that idea of frequently revving up the metabolism to keep it from stalling. And whenever the metabolism stalls, like an engine shutting off, you know, obviously the fat burning goes down. So we're not talking about anything crazy here, but several times per day, there's a 2-minute, very simple exercise program. It's amazing, it's 2 minutes, right? But you basically do some very light, modified weightlifting maneuvers, and scalable to any level and age. And what that does is it pumps that metabolism up just enough that it keeps it, idling along from the rev and consuming fat all day long.
Fantastic. How many times a day are we doing this?
Three
times a day.
Yeah, three times 2 minutes. So, people say, well, how can a weight loss program only have 36 minutes of prescribed movement in it? So you got the 30-minute walk in the morning, and then the 3 times 2 minutes of this little exercise program that we call the MetRev. Well, actually, that's really what works to keep the metabolism going. In fact, exercising more, longer, harder, it can have fitness benefits and conditioning benefits, but we run the risk of exhausting the body and making it very carbohydrate dependent, sugar craving. And there's something known as compensatory carbohydrate consumption following exercise. I call it carb eat back syndrome. And the literature will suggest that if you exercise hard enough, your body will be stimulated to eat back 2 to 4 times as many calories as you burned in carbs. And when we have that, you know, big carb influx, then we have the insulin spike, goes to fat storage, shuts off fat burning. So all that is why we do a limited amount of exercise when we're really trying to lose weight. It may sound counterintuitive at first, but it actually makes good sense when you look at the science.
I love it. So let's take it home, because there's two more elements that I think that you're mixing in that that I found to be, you know, very, very interesting and thought-provoking. What's the second to last item on your list?
Get right with stress. And the reason I say that is that fat burns in a flame of calmness. So when we look at how the metabolism functions, if we're under high levels of stress, or whatever we perceive to be that, and that could be emotional, it could be weather, it could be through training, anything like that, that tends to alter our hormonal profile. And we tend to have higher cortisol levels and a sequelae of other hormones which go along with that. And ultimately, we're going to have higher blood glucose levels and a higher dependency, or a body that wants to become sugar dependent again. And so keeping stress calm keeps the fat burning accessed and keeps us away from shutting that off.
Interesting. Let alone just also reducing stress and the feelings and all the different emotions and the toll that stress itself takes. So, well, take us home. What's the last item on the list?
Well, it's fairly basic. You know, it's kind of that, okay, we are humans. We live with other humans. And so what we need to do is communicate and collaborate and love. And by those terms, really, we want to support and help each other. We want to deliver information in manners that that are well received, and really work on that whole teamwork thing. So that sounds, sounds a little Pollyanna, and everybody's like, oh, that's kind of obvious. But really what happens is that also has powerful hormonal regulating effects. And so we'll increase our oxytocin or serotonin, for example. And then those things also keep the fat burning. Again, we wouldn't want to leave out that important fellowship component.
Got it. So in addition to, the obvious pieces of that last one, communicate, collaborate, and love, you're saying there's scientific benefits within the body for adapting and employing that behavior.
Oh, yeah. Well known. And so in summary, we kind of cruise through those pretty rapidly, but that's actually how you do effortless weight loss. You eat some good food, just tweak that a little bit and make sure you get your sleep. You move moderately and, try to keep, stress down and harmony up, and lo and behold, the brilliant human takes care of itself and automatically regulates back to ideal body weight.
Nice. John, I like that. So that's kind of the fundamentals of the effortless weight loss program. What if someone out there is asking for this next segment, that they're saying, okay, what can I do to actually work on the bod? I actually want to the sculpt or the shred. I want to employ some techniques to address that while I'm also working on my body comp. What would you recommend to them in that regard?
Sure. And there's a way to add in some training and not get too far into, metabolic distress like I was alluding to earlier. Mostly this would be done through resistance training, and that would be, kind of like weight or other, types of resistance. And we can get some great benefits in shaping the muscles and also just kind of improving, how our bodies, look and feel. So what I've got are, some simple suggestions. I think there are five exercises that a person could put in, which will help with this whole, I want to look good in my suit or my dress or in my swimsuit.
Got it. Lay it on me.
So the first one is, let's take a kettlebell swing, for example. And so most people were going to recognize that. That's why I chose some of these exercises. Well, you've got the kettlebell held in front of you with two hands. And as you go into kind of a squat, kind of a combo squat deadlift maneuver, the kettlebell swings between the legs. And then as you straighten up, you swing it up into the air, you know, depending how high you want to go. Well, if we do those kettlebell swings with an emphasis on what we call terminal knee and hip extension. So in other words, as you're coming up, you really want to straighten the knees and ultimately the hips as you stand up tall and squeeze your glutes. So we extend the hip and we squeeze the butt cheeks like you're cracking a walnut in there. That's the trick.
So, and when we do this, what does this have an effect on rounding out the buns? What's this doing in terms of, what's the result of doing these kettlebell swings like this?
Couple things. That motion is going to add some tone and shape to the buttock, first of all. And then the other thing it's going to do, it's going to activate or teach us to keep our glutes activated in standing, which creates a great platform for posture, reflecting our attitude towards life, shall we say. And it also helps to prevent us from overarching the lower back. So when those glutes are turned on, especially the largest one, the gluteus maximus, it helps to keep our lower back from being excessively arched. A small amount of arch is normal, but excessive we don't want.
Interesting. Okay, where are we going to next? What's the second exercise?
Now we want to go into, well, what can we do for the abdomen? And, you know, there are a lot of good choices of exercises, but what we really want to do is we're not trying to spot reduce, let's say burn belly fat by doing sit-ups. What we're really doing here is we're going to do some prone planks, and prone is just face down, on either your hands like you're in a push-up position or on your forearms or, you know, kind of elbows that people will do often. But we want to do it with what is known as TVA activation breathing cycles. So that sounds cool, doesn't it?
It does. I'm curious. I don't know what that is.
So the TVA is your transversus abdominis. It's the deepest and most innermost of our four abdominal muscles. And by doing repetitions of breathing in that plank position, so we're statically holding and we're engaging a lot of muscles to lock up the core in a desirable position, but then we're using the transversus abdominis to breathe in and out. And so when we exhale, we pull the belly button in with a pause, and then when we inhale, we let it relax out just a little bit. Well, doing that translates very well to now we're standing up and we don't have that relaxed belly where we're kind of just like letting it hang out. We're naturally holding ourselves with engaged abdominal and core muscles and looking, having that flat belly effect.
Wow. Okay. You schooled me there. I gotta practice that. What is number three on this list?
Number three, it's an exercise a lot of people might not recognize the name of, but we can describe it easily and you can't do it wrong. So that's kind of good news to have. It's called a face pull. And we do the face pull because it really optimizes what we need to do with our posture from the shoulder blades up. So the shoulder blades, the thoracic spine, the shoulders, the head, the neck, all that needs to have that kind of tall, proud, confident look. And also that's good for health and reducing, you know, wear, tear, strain, but it's easily accomplished with the face pull exercise. So how you do it, you could use a tubing or elastic band or a cable apparatus. You simply put the anchor point at face level. So whatever you're pulling against is going to be, you know, at, you know, near your face height. It doesn't have to be exact, but close. And then, you know, with your arms out, you know, reached out or extended in front of you, you're going to pull back towards your face, leading with the backs of your hands and bringing your hands and arms out a little bit, almost like a bird spreading its wings with each repetition. So you pull back and squeeze, and then you release forward. That's a face pull.
So are we squeezing? Am I like squeezing between my shoulder blades? Am I imagining that right?
Oh yeah, that's a great way to finish the movement. So, okay, you know, you're going to pull back. So it's not really a rowing exercise, but we're retracting the shoulder girdle. We're horizontally abducting the humeri. We are, externally rotating the arms. We're retracting, tucking the chin. There's a lot of things that are happening, but they will happen automatically when you do that pull back and squeeze.
Got it. Okay. All right. Excellent description, by the way, of a new exercise. What's number four?
So number four, everyone recognize as a lat pull down or pull up, you know, if you do pull ups. And it kind of goes back to Arnold's teachings, you know, and hey, we love Arnold. You know, you do rows for thickness in your back, but you do pull downs or pull ups for width. So when we want that, you know, V shape in the male body or even in the female body, when we want to, you know, emphasize a narrow waist, we get a great benefit from actually doing these lat pull downs or pull ups.
Okay. Got it.
Couple thoughts on that I should offer.
Sure.
A relatively wide grip will be, you know, wide grip for width, it will be effective. And then that would be, you know, palms forward as opposed to, you know, an underhanded pull up or chin up motion. Also, pull to the front, never pull to the back because that's stressful on your shoulder joint and not as effective at recruiting the muscles we're targeting anyway.
Gotcha. Okay, so what's number five on this supercharged list of shred exercises?
Yeah, so I'll review now and hit the last one. So we did some kettlebell swings. Let me start over. We did some kettlebell swings, not squings, kettlebell swings with an emphasis on glute squeeze. Although, hey, there's a term, squing. It's a squeeze and swing. Okay, stop it. Kettlebell swings. We did the prone planks, but we're actually working on sucking the belly in and out, and that's how we count our reps in that static position. We do some face pulls for that tall, wonderfully aligned upper body posture. And then we did some lat pull downs or pull ups, again, to emphasize the waist to shoulder ratio. Now, we put the polish on this so that the bikini top or the dress straps or the suit jacket fits right, and that's by doing lateral raises for deltoid development.
Gotcha. Okay, and delt, is that the where is the delt? Is that kind of like the muscle on top of the shoulder?
Yeah, it's the muscle, you know, kind of on the top or side of your shoulder, and there are three heads to it. There's an anterior, a middle, and a posterior head. But if you picture a person standing and their shoulders have that kind of, you know, almost cannonball sticking out from each side, that's really the muscle that we're talking about. And the lateral raise can be done, you know, two arms or one, cables versus dumbbells, etc. But what you're basically doing is you're starting with your hands, you know, down in front of the hips, and then with slightly bent elbows, raising up and out, you know, maybe to about ear height and back down. Forms, there's a lot of variations on that form, and we have to make sure that it's safe and comfortable for each person's shoulder. But if you keep the weight light, you're actually going to, you know, get a great effect at shaping and sculpting those deltoids and really looking great from all angles when you're at the altar or the beach.
Very nice. So, all right, someone's like, we got a listener or many, and they're like, all right, you sold me, John. I'm going to do this. How often and what's sort of the program of the of putting this workout into play?
Simple, basic, and easy. I would say this, 2 to 3 times a week, do those 5 exercises. Do them in circuit fashion for 2 to 3 circuits of about 10 repetitions for each exercise and moderate resistance, you know, whatever you define as light to moderate, and rest as much as you need to get through it with good technique, good form. It's really that simple.
I like that. And then if we're combining, if you know, light, simple, and easy, that combined, this doesn't basically, I guess the amount of exercise doesn't run contrary to the effortless weight loss principles. It actually works in conjunction.
Right. Yeah. You're looking at a, you know, 10, 15 minute program, which is, you know, which is resistance based. And so it's going to be non-taxing, not overly taxing metabolically, but it's going to also stimulate, you know, not just the preservation of muscle, but also, you know, gaining or adding a little bit at the same time we're losing fat. That's called metabolic multitasking. It's tough to do, but right. it's worth trying.
Got it. And so the third key point that you wanted to bring to the table today involves the sun. What is the third big idea that you wanted to share with the listeners today?
Blinded by the light. Oh, I felt it. I'm sorry. It just came out. You know, that song was Manfred Mann and his Earth Band. Bruce Springsteen did it. You know, some other artists as well. But, you know, we don't need to be blinded by the light, but we need to be out in the sun. And here's why. So let's say, you know, you're getting ready for the beach and you want to get a little bit of a pre-tan on so that you don't lobsterize yourself, or, you know, you're going to be at the wedding, whether you're in the wedding party or in the audience. And, you know, you want that healthy glow that a vibrant tan can give. And I'm not saying, you know, crispy fried, but, you know, we're just adding a little color to the body. Well, you know, okay, everyone appreciates the cosmetic value of that, but actually there are so many health benefits, as you indicated earlier. Now, if we're you know, not burning ourselves and progressing gradually, we're getting a vitamin D synthesis effect, which is extremely valuable. And there are all sorts of trickle down effects on that sun exposure, including improved sleep and better bone density, and more of this hormonal regulation that we were talking about.
Interesting. Okay. So not just the cosmetic, there's some, you know, some cellular chemistry things and all that's happening within the body. How would you go about doing it?
Yeah. Well, you have to be careful. I mean, obviously, you know, different folks and, you know, our ancestry, you know, our race, our background, can affect how much sun exposure you should do, and also your health or medical history may have some, you know, pre-existing conditions or issues that you have to be respectful of. So I usually say, first of all, progress gradually, never burn. Probably always use a hat and possibly sunscreen on the face, just because, you know, those areas do take a beating in us. And, you know, we're, you know, for all this stuff for the beach and the wedding, we're also concerned about, you know, having a good complexion, and we're doing that by improving our health and by eating that plant-based diet, which is making us have supple skin from within. But also the controlled sun exposure has been shown to be helpful in that pursuit.
Gotcha. And any other considerations as we're, you know, trying to slowly get the sun into our lives as spring turns into summer?
Yeah, and it's really just to expose as much of the body as possible. You know, we have to have the sun hitting the skin, obviously, to have the tan effect, but also to get the vitamin D. So, you know, if you're out there like we have been, you know, here in Southwest Montana with, you know, a down jacket and a hat, and the only thing that's gloves, the only thing that's exposed is a small amount of the face. We have to be careful then, because the sun's reflecting off the snow. It's really bright, so maybe we wear sunscreen, but we're not really we're getting some benefits from that light exposure and enjoyment of being outside, but we're not really getting the vitamin D effect. So, you know, again, this is seasonal, but expose as much of the body as possible to get the max benefits.
Interesting. Okay. I like it. So let's say we've employed these things and we have the big day coming up. What sort of advice or suggestions would you have if, as someone's kind of getting closer to the actual wedding or event?
Yeah, we just use kind of an athletic model, training, or even competition model, you know, if you will. And so what you do is you taper and you peak for the big day. And, you know, whether you're going to a weightlifting competition, or you're running a race, or, you know, you're preparing for, you know, a massive presentation, all those things represent events that we sort of go through a preparation cycle for. Well, same thing should be true for your beach vacation or your wedding or your honeymoon or whatever. So how to do that? Well, we just borrow from what some of the experts have done. And so we want to be sure to stay well hydrated and possibly increase hydration in the final week. And, you know, you're thinking it's a flushing effect, and, you know, maybe there's some benefit to a very, very small caloric deficit over that final week. And, you know, drinking a lot of water might contribute to that. Not really a big pusher on that topic, but we want to stay hydrated mainly because you want no fainting or cramping at the altar or when you're on the water skis.
Right. Okay. What else can we do?
not a bad thing to do at any time, but maybe in that last week, take a sauna for the detox value, detoxification value that saunas can provide, and put some extra health in the bank.
Okay, got it. So a little hydration, maybe a little detox. Anything else we can do?
Maybe double up on that cold exposure. So maybe now find a way to take a cold plunge or a few cold water soaks, whether that's in a tank or a chest freezer or a lake or a stream. And it's gonna ramp up your energy a little bit. There's some benefits to that, but also it tends to upregulate immune function. And we all recognize how, you know, you get into the excitement of these things like a vacation or a wedding in particular. And even though it's positive, it can be stressful. So that enhanced immune system can keep you from breaking down and suddenly, you know, having a sore throat or something that's going to put a damper on the joy of the event.
Interesting. So maybe that's a little counterintuitive. So you're dunking your body in ice cold water. How does that upregulate your immunity? Maybe just like a quick answer to a layman's answer.
Yeah, it's kind of a like a flu shot analogy, if you will, you know. And so, you know, you think about the right amount of that which does not kill us makes us stronger. And you know, you lightly stress the body, and then it says, "Oh man, I'm going to surge up, my immune function a tad," and it does carry over.
Interesting. Okay. So then let's say we're like really getting close to the big day, 3-4 days out. What are you saying?
You need to be rested and be fresh and be at your best for your own enjoyment. And also, you know, again, just to be the star and the participant in what you're trying to do. So stop all training, pretty much, you know, all the lifting and maybe even cut back on everything else and substitute workout time with naps.
Got it. So you're getting the rest. You've stopped the training. You're reducing the stress, all that. And then anything else? Is there sort of rounding the corner to the big day?
Yeah, I'd say, and this, there are a lot of resources that are better than me on this one, but I'd say put some mirror time in. You know, have some positive thoughts, practice smiling. You know, that has a great benefit when you're, you know, really bolstering yourself up. And it also helps to not only have self-affirmation, but it's what you project to the world. And so if you're feeling happy and healthy and you're smiling and vibrant, I mean, that's, I think, you know, we all should be that way, you know, as much as we can. But certainly when you're at the big event, you want to be the person who's up and not down.
I like it. Well, that's a pretty comprehensive program that you kind of laid out there. Any other, you know, thoughts? Let's say someone's saying, I like how you laid it out here, but I want more specifics. What sort of resources would you point them towards?
Yeah, I'd keep it straightforward. I'd say go to thelifetimebody.com, just grab a copy, grab your copy, download it, of Effortless Weight Loss. You know, it's a fun ebook that, you know, takes you through this journey. It's, you know, it's rich with video content as well. Easy to do. So any questions that you have, the things we went over today are well explained in there.
Absolutely. And let's say they wanted a little Jay-Z time. They wanted, they just wanted your help to personalize this. What would they do?
Yeah. So like right now I've got a few slots available. You know, sometimes that's not the case, but if people want to do a little more fine tuning and want to work with me, you know, in a coaching capacity, get some personalized training guidance, just hit the menu item that says work with Coach Jay-Z, and you know, you can pick what you want as far as a consult, a package, or a program design. And I love doing that. So, you know, anybody that says, hey, I've got this thing coming up, I want to get on the list, by all means, check it out.
Absolutely. And actually, we're going to round out the show with the review of the week. And this one that you're going to share with us actually was the inspiration of today's show.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I kind of had some ideas about that topic, but, you know, I was stumbling along. And then I received this email, received this really review of the show, came to me via email last week, and it inspired me. And so this is from Courtney Kay, and she had this to say about the show. Hey guys, I love this show, and here's why. You always make complicated information seem more basic. I can listen to this show and it helps me to understand all this complex health stuff. I avoid the confusion, get a few laughs, and in the end wind up inspired to do something better with my eating and exercising. You've even got me calling my workouts training, and this is a whole new mindset for someone like me. You make me feel good about myself. My fiance and I have been on the Effortless Weight Loss Plan now for about 6 weeks. We're both down about 15 pounds and feeling better than in a long time. We figure we have another 15 pounds to go to hit our goal, and our wedding is planned for late June, followed by a honeymoon in Hawaii. Yay. Thanks to the Lifetime Body, we'll both be in the shape we wanted to be for this important life event. We're proud and positive about how we were feeling and looking. This isn't being vain at all. We just wanted to start our life together based in good health habits, and we didn't want to have to look at embarrassing photos of ourselves years later in an album. Thanks for a simple and quite effective solution to getting ready for our big day and for all the great tips we get in the show.
Well, that's awesome. Courtney K, I mean, first of all, congratulations for being on the path already. And I think that they are in good shape looking towards June.
Yeah, and thank you and congrats on all the things that you're doing and your wedding. And maybe if it's appropriate, send us a message later, a comment, maybe a wedding picture if you think that's hey, we want to honor you because you really are helping us with what we're doing. So thanks again. And hey, to you listeners and wonderful folks, thanks as always. And please keep the ratings and the reviews and the questions and comments coming. This is really what we're here for.
Absolutely. See you next week.
Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us on the Lifetime Body Podcast, where we kick ass for life through the attainment of ultimate wellness and the pursuit of peak performance and maximum longevity. If you are enjoying this content, please leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to the show and share it with your friends and family. Also, check out thelifetimebody.com, where you can access a variety of publications and media that can help you achieve the highest levels of health, fitness, success, and happiness. And be sure to subscribe to the weekly Kick-Ass for Life update, which keeps you real-time on the latest releases from TLB. Until next time, this is the Lifetime Body, where science meets common sense and where we help you kick ass for life.